Good evening, everyone. Welcome sa gathering ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ako po si Alvin Itonwa, naglilingkod bilang pastor ng iglesyang ito. Mga ilang paalaala lang ho na nais kong banggitin. Unang-una po sa lahat, meron po tayong membership class bukas. So, kung kayo po ay may interest na maging part o maging bahagi ng iglesyang ito, we encourage you to attend 9 a.m. po sa may bandang Akoya sa aming tahanan. And meron pong mga refreshments doon, meron tanghalian, and gusto namin po kayo makilala. At para makilala nyo rin kung ano ang paniniwala at kung sino mga tao ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. So 9 o'clock po yun bukas. Tapos meron po tayong the following Saturday, meron po tayong couples dinner. So we encourage na ang mga couples dito na maging part ng hindi lang ito basta hapunan, no? Na tayo ay magmumukhang nice at date ng mga asawa, bagamat yun ang isa sa mga layunin. Pero ang pinakalayunin dito ay umupo sa salita ho ng Diyos at makinig. Dalangin ko na kung kayo po ay interesado o meron kayong mga kakilala na gusto niya i-register, please inform si Brother Aaron. At nandyan po siya banda sa gawing kanan sa likod, gawing kanan ko sa baybandang likod kung gusto niya siyang puntahan at sumangguni sa ating kakanapang ito. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating study series ng 1 Timothy. For the past weeks, we have been studying Paul's letter to young pastor Timothy, who needed encouragement at saka instructions kung paano ang church sa Ephesus maging isang healthy na church, isang church na nakasentro sa gospel. We've learned that a healthy church is a church that teaches the right gospel. A church that prays that the gospel would lead different peoples, classes, at saka kinds sa saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A healthy church where men lead in prayer and praises corporate worship. And women whose beauty is adorned with good works as they devote their service to God and His church. Nakita po natin yan last week. Alam ni Paul na isa sa mahalagang elemento upang maging at manatiling isang healthy church ang iglesia ay sa pamamagitan po ng mga faithful na leaders. Mga godly, qualified elders o yung tinatawag po na pastors. Last week po, medyo may kahirapan yung passage na inaral po natin dahil last week, tinignan po natin yung roles at saka conduct ng male and female sa corporate worship through the lenses of Scripture. And meron mahirap din po na tinalakay natin yung mga textual issues na nakapaloob po sa passage na yon. Ngunit ngayong gabi po, itong passage na ngayon to ay para sa akin ay mas mahirap. Mas mahirap po personally. Kasi the more I study and meditate on this passage these past weeks, the more po na-highlight yung aking weaknesses. Mas na-highlight ang aking imperfections, na-highlight yung mga inadequacies ko. At nagiging mas obvious sa akin na hindi ko talaga perfectly nagaganap lahat ng mga bagay na ito. And lahat po ng mga elders dito sa Crossroads would say the same thing. Please know na wala sa aming mga elders na masasabing perpekto. Wala po kami na yung usual na sa isip ng babayan natin na malapit sa Diyos. Kumbaga, nandito kayo sa baba, nandito kami sa taas, malapit kami kay Lord. Hindi po. Kami ay sinners saved and sustained by grace. Ngayon po ay kami ay patuloy pa din hinuhubog, inaayos, and patuloy po na inaayos ng Panginoon. So kasama po kami sa lakbay na ito, kasama kayo. As we look at this passage, marahil iniisip po natin kung paano ko ma-apply itong passage na ito sa sarili ko. Samantalang, naka-address ito sa mga pastor. So paano may ma-apply ito? So Crossroads Church of Dubai, paano natin i-apply ito bilang members ng church? Well, unang-una, let me divide yung kung paano ko i-address to per section. Unang-una, para sa mga current elders, para sa mga current pastors ng Crossroads, itong passage na ito, isang sermon na ito, is a heart check para sa atin. It's a heart check. We need to reevaluate how we are living our lives in light of this scripture. Sa mga Crossroads men na nandito, nag-a-aspire ka ba maging pastor? Nag-a-aspire ka ba na maging elder? Ang buhay mo ba ay tumutugma sa qualifications ng chapter 3 na binasa kanina ni Tony? Obvious ba ito sa lahat ng mga kapatiran sa iglesia? Kasi kailangan natin ng mga faithful elders, mas marami. So keep aspiring. Crossroads women, ang mga qualities na nabanggit sa passage na ito ay dapat i-aspire din ninyo. Hindi lang na mga kalalakihan, kundi i-aspire din ninyo. Single women, ito din ang mga qualities na dapat makita sa isang Christian man na dapat pinagpe-pray. At the rest of the Crossroads members na nandito, ito ang katangian na dapat makita sa pagpili ng future pastors, future leaders ng iglesyang ito. Gusto natin godly men na nagli-lead sa Crossroads Church of Dubai. Kung hindi ho godly, faithful men na nagli-lead ng iglesia na ito, then nanganganib ang iglesyang ito. We need mature, godly elders who will model to us what a Christian is. That's why kung pupunta ho kayo sa bulletin nyo sa page 14, makikita nyo banda ho rito sa bandang baba ang mga elders and pastors. Pag sinabi pong elders and pastors, iisa lang po yon. Page 14, ayan po ang kanilang mga pangalan, mga muka, kaya tandaan ninyo. Okay. Para masama nyo sa panalangin. Ayan. May sama nyo sa panalangin, makamusta ho ninyo, at ma-encourage. Okay? So page 14 po yan. Iwi nyo yung bulletin. So we need, so basically yung being an elder, yung qualifications po dito, God chose a few faithful godly men qualified to serve as a pastor and elder in order to model to his people a mature Christian. And quite honestly, that is humbling para sa amin. Truly humbling. That's why a gospel-shaped elder is marked by Christ-like character and living. A gospel-shaped pastor or elder is marked by Christ-like character and living. 2 points pura sa atin ngayong gabi na ito. Number one, the character of a gospel elder. Verses 1 to 3 ng chapter 3. And number two, the life of a gospel elder. Verses 2 hanggang 4 to 7. Number one, the character of a gospel elder. Basahin po natin ang verse 1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Aspire here means to reach out for something. No? O hindi tawag na to stretch it out na may effort na ganon. So yun yung imagery ng aspire sa passage na ito. Trying to reach something. A synonymous term po neto is desiring. Desiring the office. Kaya hindi ho masama ito because yun ang sabi dito. No? So this is something na hindi sapilitan. Hindi po ito isang office na you force someone or you force yourself sa office ng elder or ng pastor. Ang paglingkod sa office ng elder ay nasa puso ng isang kalalakihan at sineseryoso niya ito. The more he reads God's word, the more that he grows in the word, the more he serves God's people, there is sometimes a natural bent to aspire sa office na ito. Kasi being an elder ay isang seryosong role. Sabi sa Hebrews 13:17, ito ang dahilan kung bakit seryoso. Obey your leaders or pastors and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as Those who will have to give an account. Ganyan ho kaseryoso yan. Kaming mga elders sa Crossroads will take account before God kung papaano namin pinangalagaan o shepherd yung flock ni Christ dito sa iglesia na ito. Kaya the office and the role of an elder should not be taken lightly. Hindi ito yung after na bumagsak ako sa board, sige na nga, magpapastor na lang ako. Ay, naku, ang hirap naman ito. Total, nawala na ako ng trabaho, magpapastor na lang ako. Hindi po ganun yun. No, hindi ito, kumbaga, fall back. No? May fall back ka, magpastor ka. Hindi po yun, hindi yung ganun kasimple. So verse 1, pangalawang beses nabanggit yung trustworthy. Yung unang beses po ay sa chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul highlights that Christ came to save sinners. Samantalang dito naman sa chapter 3, he's calling attention to his readers to point out something that is important. Na ang work ng isang overseer ay honorable. Yun ay honorable. Honorable ito kasi meron itong mahaba at mayaman na tradisyon among God's people. Matatagpuan pa po ito way back sa Old Testament kay Moses sa Exodus chapter 18. Now, it was Moses who appointed the first elders. The first elders to teach and judge God's people. At makikita natin all throughout sa Old Testament where God's people is represented and governed by elders. Sa New Testament naman, makikita po natin yan, nakakalat yan sa mga letters ni Paul. Na kung saan one of it is sa Titus, inappoint na si Titus na kung saan mag-appoint ng elder sa bawat city. Sa Titus chapter 1, verse 5. The work of an overseer, yung tinatawag na noble task, ibig sabihin niyan ay good work. It is a good work. Noble kasi it involves oversight of God's people. And this is not easy. Okay? And the beauty and privilege of modeling Christ to them. That's why it is a noble one. Sa New Testament, ang overseer, bishop, pastor, or elder ay mga synonymous na terms na ginagamit interchangeably to mean only one thing, an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd of Jesus Christ, na kung saan si Jesus Christ. So pag narinig nyo yan, na kung saan, overseer, bishop, pastor, elder, iisa lang ho lahat ang ibig sabihin nun. An under-shepherd. Dito sa Crossroads, we only use two. That's why kung mapapansin nyo minsan, interchangeably, inagamit ng mga pastors or elders, we introduce ourselves sometimes as elders, sometimes as pastor. Just to communicate sa congregation, ay isa lang ibig sabihin na ito. While some other churches, they use the term pastor sa mga full-time. Whereas yung mga lay pastor or yung mga bivocational ay lay. So, but either way, iisa lang ho ang ibig sabihin ng mga yon. Ngayon, titignan po natin ang character ng isang elder. Okay? First of all, he is above reproach. Makita po yan sa verse 2. This doesn't mean sinless perfection, na hindi siya nagkakasala kahit minsan. It means an elder ay dapat blameless o walang kapintasan sa nabasa kanina. Walang kapintasan sa kanyang outward observable conduct. Na kapag unang tingin sa kanya, hindi makakita ng kapintasan ng kasalanan. Not even a hint, ika nga. Ang integrity ng isang gospel elder ay dapat unquestionable. So yun yung above reproach. Second, sober-minded. Sober-minded. Siya ay free from excess passion or rashness. Matino at klaro ang kanyang pag-iisip. Ang translation ng sober-minded sa King James ay vigilant. Vigilant o mapagbantay. Ito po yung picture na kung saan ang isang tao na naglalakad sa gabi at hindi naman sa napaparanoid siya pero vigilant siya, no? Kung saan alert siya at laging ready na sa possible dangers na kung saan sumalakay sa kanya. Yun po yung picture na binibigay ng passage na to. Mahalaga ito sa isang elder ng iglesia for the protection ng church. Mahalaga po ito. Ang isang vigilant na elder ay mabilis mapansin ang spiritual needs ng isang iglesia and warns the congregation for any spiritual danger. Kaya kailangan vigilant siya, sober-minded. Self-control naman yung susunod. Same verse, verse 2. Ang Greek word niya ay may kinalaman sa decision-making. Dapat prudent siya at hindi siya rash, hindi siya impulsive. But sensible, discreet, wise. Balance ang kanyang judgment in making important decisions sa ministry ng isang iglesia. This also means the ability to control his emotions, his passions, his outward actions. Hindi po basta-basta na bumibigay sa bugso ng kanyang damdamin. Paglalungkot, apektado na lahat. Paggalit, apektado na lahat. Pag-excited, apektado na lahat. Hindi po. How can he lead the church if he doesn't have full control of himself? Next, respectable. Respectable, same verse. Men who are orderly, well-mannered, dignified. No? Related din ito sa kanyang drinking habits, kaya naman ang isang elder, hindi dapat lasengor, which is yung susunod. Hindi dapat drunkard. Sa verse 3 na po tayo. Wala pong nabanggit sa passage na ito, kahit sa Bible, nagsasabi na ang elder ay hindi pwedeng uminom ng alak. Ang isang elder, ang sinasabi niya po ay dapat hindi addicted sa alak. Hindi ho nagpapakalasing. Yung iba sinasabing konti lang. Yung samantabang pakonti, nagiging pakonti, container na, ang dami ng inom. Diba? Hindi natin kailangan ng pastor na ganun pa konti container ang iniinom. Dapat po hindi siya addicted sa alak. Hindi niya din mababantayan kasi ang at maipagtatanggol mabuti yung doktrina ng isang iglesia. Kasi yung kanyang judgment ay hindi na magiging ganun ka-accurate. Ang Greek philosophers daw minsan ina-associate yung pagiging lasengo sa isang taong bayolente. No? This is prevalent sa culture ng Ephesus. Kaya part ng quality ng isang elder ay sa verse 3, not violent. Not violent. Mostly nakikita natin ang mga, kung kayo lumaki sa Pilipinas, nakikita natin yung mga sa tambay at nagiinuman at kapag nagkapikunan, dahil lasing na nagiging violente. Nagtatauban ang lamesa. Kung ano-ano yung mga sinasabi. Hindi po pwede. Walang lugar yan sa buhay ng isang elder. Dapat hindi siya violente. Hindi siya bully. Okay? Hindi siya bully. He doesn't quickly lose his temper. Hindi mainitin ang urmakanti lang ng konti. Galit na galit na. Hindi siya verbally or physically abusive. Hindi siya pinagbubuhatan. Hindi niya pinagbubuhatan ng kamay ang kanyang asawa. Hindi siya barumbado. Hindi siya violenting tao. I remember I was part of isang church sa Pilipinas na kung saan yung pastor na kwento niya to. And kwento niya to, it was years before niya kinuwento ito. And nagmamadali siya papunta ng church. And alam mo yun, pag namamadali ka papunta ng church, may tendency kang bumilis and nagmamadali ka maghanap ng parking. And nung time na makita siya ng parking, ang hirap na makapark noon, kasi banda sa mall yung parking, nung may nakita siyang parking slot, may paatras sa sana, inunahan niya. Tapos paglock na, agad-agad siyang lumakad at bumabay na sa kotse, sinabi, "Hi, Pastor!" So, isipin niyo na lang, pag nag-init, nahuli niyo ako, i-rebuke niyo kaagad ako, kahit sino sa aming elder. So, parang nakakahiya, ano? Parang hindi tamang representation na nababanggit po dito. Yet we are guilty. If an elder ay hindi gentle, kind, and patient, he will easily lose his temper sa members. Kawawa ang members sa kanya. At ang masakit po dito, he will model yung ganong klaseng temperament sa members. Thinking, galing si pastor, ganyan ang reaction ni pastor, ibig sabihin acceptable yan. Magiging mainitin din ang ulo ko. So we have modeled wrongly. And itong gentleness na ito, yung pagiging kind and patient, we praise God. Kasi nakikita ko ang katangian na ito sa ating pastor na si Pastor Jack Mortola. Kung meron man akong isa sa mga kilalang very patient and humble and kind, ay si Pastor Jack. With his experience and with his wisdom, minsan I just feel that he's just being patient with me. So I praise God kay we have a pastor na katulad ni Pastor Jack. Next, not quarrelsome. So kung hindi ka patient, palaaway ka. No? Para magkakaasawa yan. Kung violente ka, eh, may tendency makipag-away ka lagi. No? Verse 3, not quarrelsome. Malamang nasa isipan ni Paul ang false teachers dito nung binanggit niya. Kasi mga false teachers are very aggressive. At ang kanilang mga disputes resulted in envy, slander, at saka fights sa loob ng church. So ang elder ay hindi palaaway or argumentative na tao. An argumentative man is the worst type of person to have sa isang elder board. He is a type of person na kapag hindi niya nakuha ang paraan niya, he will be aggressive. That's why we're very careful to choose kung sino yung ating elders. Because in every elder meeting namin, we also have disagreements. And if we have a violent elder, sa mga upon disagreements namin, it will not go down well. Dapat willing siya magsubmit at magtiwala sa counsel ng ibang elders kahit hindi siya sang-ayon sa ibang desisyon. Okay? Verse 3 ulit. Not a lover of money. Not a lover of money. Paul sa chapter 6 verse 5 warns Timothy about some men who try to use the ministry for financial gain. Ginagamit ang gawain para kumita ng pera. We see this sa panahon natin ngayon. May mga tele-evangelists and even pastors who use the word of God as a means of financial gain para yumaman. Nagbibigay sila ng mga pangako, promises of health, wealth, and prosperity. If you plant a seed sa matabang lupa, meaning siya yun, babalik po ito ng doblet higit. So now, yung motivation now is to give. And dive there, maraming magbibigay kay pastor kasi si pastor ang matabang lupa. At pag pinagpala, magbigay ulit kay pastor. No? Pastor, hindi ko problema ang pagiging lover of money. Bakit? Wala akong pere. Pero mga katid, a poor man can love money as much as a rich man. I know of a church na sa Pilipinas na kung saan na kapag pipili siya ng mga leader na kalalakihan, in a sort of a board elder, hindi elder board ang tawag nila ron, something else, is ang pinipili ng pastor is yung mga mayayaman na lalaki, mga influential, at mga kilala. And yun ang pinipili niya sa kanyang board para mas maging productive daw, para mas maging favorable sa lahat ng tao pag nakita yung mga kalalakihan na ito. And since then, hanggang ngayon, I believe ganun pa rin yung trend, sadly. Hindi naman sinasabi ni Paul na rich men are disqualified sa pagiging elder, lalo na kung sila po ay qualified, na ang mga mahihirap na lalaki lang pwede maging pastor, hindi po. Whether sila ay whether kung sila po ay mayaman o hindi, ito po kung sila ay pumasok sa qualification, pwede po sila. Ang point po ni Paul dito ay men who don't set their hearts on money. Hindi nakatuon ang kanilang puso, ang kanilang atensyon sa salapi. Hindi siya materialistic, hindi siya madamot. No? Hindi siya nag-hoard, but generous, mapagbigay. This is what I admire sa ating isa sa mga pastor na si Pastor Jason. He is proactive in giving practical helps sa mga members who are in need. Whether sila'y nandito sa Dubai o sa Pilipinas. At paano mo nalaman, Pastor? Sinabi niya, ano? Hindi ho. Dahil sa mga tinulungan niya, sinabi ho sa amin. These people are, because of his generosity, he is not only supplying yung needs ng mga kapatiran, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Praise God sa ating elder. Itong mga qualifications don't say na kailangan mataas ang IQ ng isang mama Kailangan mayaman siya or multi-talented or mataas ang pinag-aralan para maging pastor. Wala tayong nakitang qualification dito. O kaya naman, magaling ang oratory skills, yung magaling magsalita, magaling magpatawa. Ayan, gawing pastor yan. Ang lakas ng boses, hinahampas ang pulpito, pastor yan. Eh, pag, violento yun, humampas ng humampas. Eh, baka iba to yung pulpito, mayra. Wag natin. An elder should be a godly man. An elder should be Christ-like. An elder should be a gospel elder. Ngayon, tingnan naman natin ang life ng isang elder. Ano ang buhay niya? Please know that ang hirap i-go through ito because we, again, even sa mga Bible study leaders, ang ibang mga elders, nag-uusap kami, and even it's really hard because we know our imperfections. Sa grace lang muna ng Panginoon po. Sa grace lang ng Panginoon. Tingnan natin ang duties ng mga elders. Anong duties ng mga elders? First of all, hospitable. Hospitable. Verse 2. Therefore, an overseer must be hospitable. Hospitality is a tangible way of expressing God's love to His people or even to strangers. This gives elders the opportunity to practically serve and love others every time nag-o-open sila ng kanilang tahanan. Elders are to open homes as well as open their hearts, open their lives sa ibang tao. Kaya kung kayo po ay naiimbitahan o hindi pa naiimbitahan, iimbitahin mo kayo, yun po yung heart namin is to open our lives sa members, even strangers. Elders who are serving this way reflect our King Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, and He served us well by giving His life on the cross for our sins. That is a true servant para sa ating kaligtasan. Ito'y kontra sa mga false teachers ng time ni Paul, or sa mga prosperity teachers sa time natin ngayon, na ang gusto ay laging magpalibre. Gusto lagi ay silbihan sila. Gusto lagi ay gastusan sila o regaluhan. So hindi ho dapat ganun. This also literally means love for strangers. This gives opportunity sa mga hindi mananampalataya sa Panginoong Jesucristo na makakilala sa Kanya. Na magkaroon po ng friendship na mabuo and evangelism and encouragement. And I praise God sa buhay ni Pastor Jovan Bilote. Na kung saan almost every week may kainan sa bahay. Minsan akala ko laging may birthday. Magpapadala ng picture, they're opening their lives sa mga members. They're opening their lives to people na wala sa Panginoon. Why? To encourage the saints and look for opportunities to share the gospel. I praise God for these men. Praise God for these men. His life points to Jesus, the ultimate host that gave His life so that we might have life eternal. He died on that cross for our sins, was buried, and the third day has risen from the grave. Jesus gave His life for the joy that is set before Him. Thus, these brother pastors give with joy because of the joy that they have in Christ. Hospitable. Again, verse 2, able to teach. Able to teach. This is a significant part ng ministry ng isang elder. This is one of the characteristics that make an elder stand out. He must know his Bible well enough to impart sound teaching and oppose false teachers. If he must know his Bible. Teaching is central part of proclaiming the gospel and making disciples for all nations, to all nations. It is critical for training younger generations, men and women, na makakilala sa Panginoon. I had a wonderful opportunity na makasama at makahalubilo yung pastor ng Capital City Baptist Church. Ang pangalan niya ay si Mark Dever. And upon sa question and answer time namin, I asked him kung lahat ba ng mga elders niya, at noong time na yun ay 25 elders, lahat ba yon ay nagpipreach lahat? He chuckled, natawa siya ng konti. Sinabi niya, no. Ganun ang dating. Sabi ko, bakit? So I argued against a verse 2 ng 2 Timothy 3. Di ba sabi, able to teach, yes, but hindi nakalagay dyan, able to preach. Which is interesting. An elder should be able to teach. Praise God sa mga elders who are able to teach and preach. An elder able to preach is a blessing, pero it's never set forth as a requirement as an elder. But he must teach. Does that make sense? Hindi kailangan lahat mag-preach, pero dapat lahat mag-teach ang salita ng Diyos. Sabi nga ni John Calvin, an elder must have wisdom in knowing how to apply God's word to the profit of the people. So, hindi ho necessarily preaching lang si pastor. Dapat nagtuturo siya, it's either preaching, teaching sa community groups or Bible study, nagtuturo sa mga bata, nagtuturo sa mga youth, nagtuturo sa classes natin, counseling, one-to-one discipleship, as long as he understands the passage, explains it faithfully, and then knows how to apply it sa mga buhay ng kanyang kausap with clarity. And at the same time, modeling kung paano niya isabuhay ito. That's an elder that we want. Hindi ho dahil sa magaling ang communication skills, kundi siya'y tapat. This is one way that the elders love members, is to prepare faithful sermons, faithful lessons, in order to edify God's people for His glory. Crossroads, we have been blessed by men who are able to teach God's word in various avenues sa Crossroads. I always enjoy when I'm able to sit and listen to the faithful preaching of God's word through Pastor John Minas. So edifying, so good. His grasp ng scripture and pastoral insight have ushered us to worship our Father in heaven. Praise God. Elders can do many things that can be profitable para sa church. Napakadami. Pero first and foremost, he is a Bible teacher and exercises the ministry of God's word sa kanyang buhay. So when we are praying, discerning an elder or a pastor, he should be a Bible man. That's the elder's duties. Tignan naman natin ang kanyang family life. Sabi sa verse 2, husband of one wife. Let me make this clear. Ang isang elder ay isa lang ang asawa. Okay? Isa lang ang asawa, siya ay kasal sa isang biological na babae. Just to make that clear. Alright? Bakit hina-highlight ni Paul ito? Bakit kailangan pa ibanggit ni Paul ito? Kasi sa mga Greek and Roman, sa time na ito, ay tinotolerate nila yung sexual immorality. Laganap po. Common ang practice ng polygamy. Polygamy means hindi lang isang asawa. Divorce. Talamak ang adultery at rampant ang homosexuality. Kaya yun ang sinabi ni Paul. Kailangan mapakita natin kung ano yung tamang relasyon ng mag-asawa. Kaya ito naman ang ginawa ng mga false teachers. Nung gano'n na nangyayari sa kanilang context, ano ang ginawa ng mga false teachers noong time na yon? Huwag na kayong magpakasal. Yun ang tinuturo nila ngayon, which is mag-aaralan natin yan sa chapter 4. First thing, na huwag na raw magpakasal, which is napapanahon sa atin ngayon, hindi po ba? Since ganyan na rin lang, nagkakahiwalayan lang, nagkakaliwanan, eh, huwag na kayo magpakasal para kung okay na, di maghiwalay na lang, eh wala pang nasaktan. Diba? So yun ang tinituro ng mga false teacher dito. Kaya Paul is saying, model to them marital faithfulness. Picture the love relationship of Christ and His bride, the church, which is aaralin din natin sa Ephesians chapter 5 in a few months' time. Di ba napakayaman ang libro ng Ephesians? Husbands, do we demonstrate a one-woman attitude? Are we treating ang mga sisters natin dito sa Crossroads with absolute purity? Now, this passage doesn't mean na ang single men ay hindi pwedeng maging pastor o hindi pwedeng maging elder. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, is a single man. Okay? Ganun din naman si Paul ay isang single. At kinuman niya ang mga singles to take advantage sa kanilang pagiging single in opportunities of advancing the kingdom of God. So, hindi ho issue kung ikaw ay single. As long as qualified yung pasok ka sa qualification. Iba naman ang sinasabi na ang verse na it means married, men only married once. May mga nagsasabi rin nun. Sinasabi na, ibig sabihin ng verse na yan, married only once. Ang beses ka lang papakasal. Kung totoo po yan, then matidisqualify lahat ng mga nabalo at nagpakasal ulit. Which is sinabi ni Paul dito sa 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, if you are to remarry, dapat in the Lord. So, hindi yun ang ibig sabihin nito. Eh, paano, pastor, kung nagpaanal, tapos nagpakasal ulit, pwede ba yung maging pastor? Pwede ba yung maging elder? Malamang yun ang discussion na nangyayari sa loob ng mga Bible study groups. Ang sagot po dyan is simple. Hindi ko alam. Kasi, it depends. It depends. Anong details ng kanyang pag-anal? Maybe yun ang question. Nangyari ba ito nung siya ay hindi pa Kristiyano? And eventually, naging Kristiyano siya. Kung hindi naman, may biblical grounds ba ang kanyang pag-anal? Ang kanyang annulment? O nag-anal lang siya dahil nawalan lang siya ng interes sa kaya nakumuha siya ng iba? Naging faithful ba siya sa dating niyang asawa? So this is a difficult situation. I would say, we don't know. It depends. This demands wisdom. That's why napakahalaga po na magkaroon ng plurality of elders. Napakahalaga na magkaroon ng hindi lang isa, kundi maraming elders so that we could speak to one another. So we can share wisdom. We can share insights. So napakahalaga. And we're blessed to have 6 elders dito sa Crossroads. 6 pastors. So, ang point ni Paul is that elders must be morally accountable for their sexuality. Paul is saying a husband must be faithful to his wife just as Christ is faithful to his church. Pansin niyo ba na mahabang lista ng qualification ng elders dito? Pero walang qualifications ng office ng pastor's wife? Puro pastor lang, pero walang pastor's wife? Which is interesting. Kasi po walang office ang pastor's wife. Okay? Walang first lady. Na parang yung kinukumpara sa presidente. Hindi ho na kung saan, yan ang pastor, then siya ang pastor's wife, kataas-taasan. Tanggalin na po natin sa sistema natin yan. Hindi ho yun ang tamang biblical view. Gaya ng inaral po natin last week, women are not allowed to lead and teach over men sa tahanan at sa iglesia. Which is sa chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Inaral po natin yung last week. Dahil sa unique role na binigay ng Panginoon sa lalaki at sa babae. Hindi ho issue dito na skills or talent or education. Hindi po, it's because of the role na binigay ng Panginoon. At ang argument po ni Paul dito is sa Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 3, which is creation and fall argument. Kaya sa Crossroads, we do not have women pastors. We do not have women pastors. We're not saying women cannot teach. Women can teach. Women can teach the children. Women can teach other women. Women can teach the youth. Women can read scripture in our corporate gathering. Women can participate sa Bible studies. And all of these, nabanggit natin last week. But to lead over sa church and lead over sa tahanan, even non-believers know that. Na dapat yung men ang nagli-lead. Of course, for wrong reasons, yun ang paniniwala nila, but for biblical reasons. It complements, yung beauty ng complement na binigyan ng Panginoon sa babae at lalaki, honors him. So, pastor's wives, paano ang treatment dapat sa pastor's wife? Ang tanong. Si pastor eh, alam natin kung paano. Eh si pastor's wife, pastor's wives should be treated like any other member. Okay? Should be treated any other member. She should love Jesus. She should serve God's people sa church. sa ministry that she enjoys and the Lord is leading her. She should love her family, love the elder, and she should grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Treat her like a sister in Christ. So wala pong office ng pastor's wife. Pero ito pong point dito, husbands, in this part na ito, tayo ba ay committed sa ating mga asawa? According kay C.S. Lewis, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Ikaw yan pag ikaw mag-isa. Yan ang tunay na ikaw. Mga husbands, paano natin tinatrato ang mga asawa natin kapag walang nakatingin? Sino ang tinititigan natin kapag walang nakatingin? Anong websites ang dinadalaw natin at gumugoogle ng oras? Ang mga asawa ba natin ang recipients ng ating affections? Sila ba ang ating best friend? Pinupursue ba natin ang ating mga asawa sa area of spiritual, emotional, and physical intimacy? I praise God. I really praise God that I can look, every time I evaluate myself and I feel that there are areas of my falling short sa area na ito, I can look and run to my brother, Pastor Erickson Cruz. Ibang klase. His love and devotion niya kay Sally ay lalong nag-flourish for the many sleepless nights caring for her nuntang siya ay may karamdaman. At inaalagaan din si Nate at the same time. Praise God for him. He taught me how to die to myself in order to serve his bride. Brothers, let us admire, let us aspire such quality. He does this, by the way, with joy. Next, manages his family well. Manages his family well. Verse 4 to 5. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Ano ibig sabihin ba nito to qualify as an elder? Dapat ba ay may anak? Yung ba ibig sabihin nito? Well, paano ang isang anak lang? Kasi yung nasabi dyan, children eh. So pag isang anak, hindi na qualify? So, kasi plural, children eh, di ba? So hindi yun yung argument. If we say the single man qualify as an elder, it would be unlikely na magkaroon siya ng anak. So hindi po yun yung basihan. So ang word na manage dito ay may dalawang meaning. To supervise at nurture or to be concerned. Okay? The father leads his family by caring for the family's needs, by providing spiritual nourishment, keeping his children submissive. Na ano naman ang ibig sabihin nito? This does not mean na mga anak niya ay malaanghel, na hindi nagkakasala. So, erase that sa ating mga wrong expectations about sa mga pastor's kids. Okay? Hindi. Remember, they are still sinners and they will make mistakes. This also does not mean na sila ay Christian na. Pastor lang, naging Christian na ang anak. Hindi po. Mali yung theology, di ba? It doesn't say that they have been baptized and became Christians. Tandaan po natin, hindi na namamana ang ating kaligtasan. Pwede namin sila turuan kung paano maging marangal na tao o mamamayan, pero wala kaming kakayanan mag-regenerate ng puso nila. Trabaho yun ng Panginoon. Help us minister to our children. This means they respect and honor the leadership of their father and hindi sila out of control. Keeping his children submissive doesn't mean ruling his family by force. Although respect can be enforced, di ba? Hindi ka susunod. Yun pa lang, may banta na eh. No? Kahit walang ano, isa, hindi naman natutuloy sa dalawa. Pero ano bang klaseng submission na tinatawag dito? Well, Paul gives us a hint on how fathers can encourage submission o pag-submit ng mga anak. And give away po yung verse na to. With all dignity. With all dignity. Related ito on how the father treats his children. It means respecting them. Respecting his child. Treating them like people made in the image of God. Yun po ang ibig sabihin po nito. So ang best way to nurture our child's obedience is not by controlling or manipulating them, but by honoring them, respecting them, listening to them. Pastor, ano itsura niyan? Fathers, tayo ba ay naging fair, consistent, sympathetic, merciful, and gracious sa ating mga anak? When was the last time na binalikan mo ang pangako mo sa kanya? At kapag binabalikan kanya sa pangako, ikaw pa ang galit? At ang kulit mo? Ang mga pangako ay napako. Fathers who respects his children will respect them in return. And a father who is honored by his children is a type of man na gusto natin dito maging elder. Madalas mabanggit ng mga Puritans na the family is a little church. Yun ang lagi nilang tawag doon. A family is a little church. That is why, and it's been a means of grace na ginagamit ng Panginoon yung family to sanctify the pastor, sanctify the elder. That's why if his family is not in order, he cannot manage or lead yung church, which is a bigger family with bigger children. Mas malaking, not big children, but maraming children. Fathers, when was the last time binalikan natin ang mga promise nila? Balikan natin. We're almost done. Spiritual maturity. Verse 6. He must not be a recent convert. Hindi siya bagong Christian. Hindi siya bagong convert. A young believer ay hindi pa ready mag-oversee ng church kasi wala pa siyang ganong karanasan. Hindi pa subok ng mga bagyo ng pagsubok ang kanyang pananampalataya. Naalala ko po, pag nakakapunod ako sa Hollywood, ano, si ganitong famous singer or actor or at athlete, naging Christian, all pa sa atin, nandun na sa stadium, nagpipreach. Dapat hindi ho muna. Kasi baka bugso lang ng damdamin. He should be learning, he should be studying. Kaya nalalagay po sa alanganin yung mga tinuturuan. Kaya sa 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul urges na do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. Ano ibig sabihin yan? It's an imagery na kung saan passing authority. Giving authority to become a pastor. Dapat hindi hasty. Dapat hindi nagmamadali. So Crossroads, wag ho tayo magmadali. If you see na yung elders nagmamadali sa isang candidate, you need to let us know. And give us the reason why. Huwag magdali mag-ordain ng elder sa office. Hindi masyadong concern ang Bible sa biological age ng elder, pero mas concerned siya sa spiritual age ng isang mananampalataya. Kung gano'n na ito ka-mature. Kasi ang mga nagmamadali tayo, malalagay pag nagmamadali tayo, maglagay ng elder sa isang iglesia at hindi siya mature, he will fall sa condemnation ng devil. At ano yung condemnation devil? Pride ang temptation ng bagong Kristiyano. It's pride. Kung ilalagay sila agad sa leadership, they might fall sa trap ng kaaway. Listen, kung hindi ka Christian, okay? Kung hindi ka Christian, hindi ka pwedeng maging pastor. Teka, pastor, di ba parang obvious naman yun? Yeah, pero may mga pastor na kahit hindi Christian, nagpapastor. And obvious ito dahil sa kanilang mga tinuturo at kanilang pamumuhay. Maraming tele-evangelists at pastors who think they are Christians, sinasabi na, we love Jesus, we love the gospel, we love the mission, but they preach a different gospel at ang kanilang pamumuhay is the opposite. Friends, maybe ganun din tayo ngayong gabi. We thought na we are Christians and we say we love Jesus, we love the gospel, pero I hate the church and I'm living in sin. Pwede ko naman makuha yung dalawang yun, okay lang. We have no interest in the things of God and of the Bible. We have no interest in His Word, His people, His church. Wala tayong interest. Dagdagan pa natin na you are trusting lang yung iyong good works at iyong religious orientation. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 10:9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will have eternal life. Friends, this is the good news. That you don't need to trust your good works. You don't need to trust your religion. You don't need to trust lahat ng mga ginagawa natin in order to win yung favor sa Panginoon. Because Christ came and gave His life for our sins on that cross. Sa qualifications na ito, who is sufficient of all of these things? Who? Wala! Pati kami mga pastor, hindi! None, only one! Jesus, the chief shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He died, was buried, and on the third day has risen from the grave. This is the chief shepherd who truly cared for his sheep. So there is an invitation na tumalikod na sa ating kasalanan at ilagay ang ating pananampalataya kay Kristo. At ang ginawa niya sa krus para sa ating kaligtasan. Lastly, well thought of outsiders. He must be well thought of by outsiders. Ito isang paalaala sa atin na ang church is in the world. The church is in the world. Ang pamumuhay ng mga apostles made the gospel message clear dahil sa kanilang pamumuhay. At dapat ganun din tayong mga elders, dapat ganun din tayong mga Kristiyano. I heard a pastor sa church at the Brooks sa Amerika na ang pangalan ay David Platt na kapag meron silang men na kung saan na kailangan i-up for eldership, which is very interesting yung ginagawa niya, pinalalagay nila yung picture at saka yung information ng candidate na yun sa dyaryo. At ito ang somehow nakalagay dito. If you know anything about these men that would disqualify them from being a church leader, contact us. Isipin mo na lang na elder candidate ka sa Crossroads. Parang gusto ko i-adapt ah. Nagtakbuhan siguro. Friends, what would people say about kung i-post ko mga larawan ninyo at mga pangalan ninyo sa website ng College Times? O kaya naman sa lahat ng mga Facebook walls ng members natin na kung saan ito ang sinasabi, this is Dante o Daniela, he or she is a Christian. If you know him or her, please write a comment and describe how he is exemplifying ang kanyang pagiging Kristiyano. Ang takot lang siguro natin yun, ano? Umuwi na tayo sa lahat ng hacker. Bakit tanggalin mo ako dyan? I wonder what would your colleagues write sa comment. I wonder kung ano sasabihin ng watchman ninyo. I wonder kung ano sasabihin ng classmates and friends ninyo. We should be holy, set apart sa sistema ng mundo na ito. Ang pag-iisip at pamumuhay ng kamunduhan. Crossroads, let us watch our life and our doctrine. Ingatan po natin ang witness natin sa outsiders. Tingnan niyo po ang warning ni Paul, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. If the church makes poor choices sa mga elders, there is always a danger na ang kanilang behavior ay magiging disgrace sa Panginoon. As we conclude, Crossroads men who are aspiring to be an elder, keep aspiring the office. Keep close watch sa iyong life and sa iyong doctrine. Keep having conversations with elders. Crossroads women, single women, start praying for men na ganitong qualities and start living such qualities. So mga current elders, my brother pastors, go through the passage with your fellow elders, with our wives, and ask what areas we need to grow. Crossroads members, aspire to the qualities na nabanggit po dito sa chapter 3.
Pray for your current elders. Obvious ang warning sa verse 7. The best way to defeat an army is to attack its command and control. Kung gusto pa bagsakin ang isang army, Satan has been doing this. Satan has been for centuries damaging churches, damaging the office of the elder para pabagsakin ang church. Men who God has appointed. So please remember, ito ang prayer request namin, pastors. Pray for our marriage, for our marriages. Pray for our parenting. Pray that the Lord would keep us persevering, nakaka-disheartened madalas, kung hindi lang sa grace ng Panginoon. Pray that we would have a hunger for God's Word and would spend time on our knees praying, crying for the Lord's grace. And please find ways to encourage your pastors. Make our job a joy to us. And lastly, if there is something that you need to tell us about our lives, na ang tagal nyo nang gustong sabihin, natatakot kayo, would you please tell us, kasi nakasalalay ang purity ng church. Kasi a gospel-shaped elder is marked by Christ-like character and living. Let's pray. Father, who is sufficient for all of these? Definitely not us. It is only by grace that you have saved us. It is only by your grace that we are continuing in this gospel, glorious ministry. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Andidito that we would, as a community, would fight sin together. That we would link arms in advancing the gospel. May we raise up more brother pastors and elders sa congregation na ito who will make you look glorious. Lord, I pray as we leave this place that our hearts are edified, our hearts are consumed by the joy that you have given us because of Christ. We look to the cross, Lord. Every time we fall, we look to the cross. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.